By his own blood, Jesus entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today on Passion Sunday, we begin to meditate deeply upon Jesus' saving work, and we're instructed in the Epistle to the Hebrews in a way that gives us deep theological understanding in what we're doing here at the altar at Christ Church. So it informs what we do liturgically. It shows the biblical basis and the deep, the deep theology of what we are doing. It points directly to the ministry of Christ, to his saving work, and to the eternal inheritance that he has won for us. We see in the work of Christ insight that is given in his ministry when he first goes into Jerusalem to cleanse the temple. It's at the time of the Passover. It's just after the wedding at Cana, where he changed water into wine. And he goes into Jerusalem at the right time. Is that not off? Can you turn the speaker on there? Any luck? We'll just leave the door open for now. So he goes into Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, and while he's there, he cleanses the temple. So he sees that they have made his father's house a den of thieves by the merchandising in the outer courtyard. He makes a whip with small cords, and he drives the money changers out, turns their tables over. And the Jews ask him, by what authority are you doing this? What sign can you give us to show that you have authority to do this? And he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. Now, John adds a parenthetical note that Jesus was speaking of the temple of his body. It was misunderstood at the time. They thought he was talking of the temple of Herod. Instead of, destroy this temple, I will raise it up in 3 days. They looked at the temple that had been refurbished under King Herod, and they thought, wow, how's that going to work? One guy, demolition crew, and you're going to rebuild it? Or how would it be destroyed anyway? And then one man construction crew? Some of the stones, there was in 2008, December issue of National Geographic, there was a laudatory article about King Herod. It's like the writer was trying to refurbished the character of the murderous king who ordered the slaughter of the innocents, remember, and murdered a lot of his own family. But they wanted to say, well, actually, we should, give Herod his due. He was a great builder. And they talked about, the refurbishment and expansion of the temple in Jerusalem, which was, in his day, in the time of Christ, one of the architectural wonders of the ancient world. And you're looking 10 stories up at this temple. Yeah, no wonder even the disciples said, Master, what stones? This is, an incredible place. And Jesus says, tear this down, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. What he was talking about was the temple of his own body. And that right there is spiritual instruction that helps us to understand how the shift is taking place between the old covenant and the new covenant. In the old covenant, the temple was built as a place of sacrifice. Sacrificial animals, goats, bullocks, lambs, slaughtered at the temple as a way to make different offerings to God. And the author of the Epistle of the Hebrews is saying, okay, that had to be done over and over again, and it only worked for the externals, but it couldn't do what Christ would accomplish in his ministry, which was to make the one complete sin offering for the sins of the whole world. And that would then bring the internal cleansing or the interior cleansing of the conscience, where a person could be delivered from their sins, reconciled to God, and be given the gift of eternal inheritance. So you see that the old covenant was pointing to the new, and eventually it would be fulfilled in Christ himself. The temple that Herod expanded, that eventually would be torn down by the Romans in AD 70. The only thing left today is the retaining wall, the wailing wall. That would eventually be torn down. But the temple that Christ indicated, the temple of his body, that place of the Shekinah of God's presence, that temple would indeed be destroyed, but then raised up 3 days later by his power. Now he has ascended into glory to bring that sacrifice that he's made once for all time into heaven itself, and there it wins our eternal redemption, and he intercedes for us as our great high priest. So we see marvelous things happening in the ministry of Christ. The temple is his body. The sacrifice that he makes is himself, the perfect sacrifice, and he is the great high priest of that sacrifice. Now, we are very blessed in our time that we can partake of the sacrifice that he has made. We participate in it, in that which Christ has ordained, the sacrament of Holy Communion. When Jesus said, "Take and eat, this is my blood. Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." He invites us to participate in what he has offered once for all time. In the words of the great liturgical scholar, Dom Gregory Dix, the Mass is that point where eternity transects time, and we enter now mystically into the heavenly worship of the angels and the archangels singing, "Holy, holy, holy," and we now partake of what Christ has offered for the benefit of our entire human race, that we may be cleansed of our sins, that we may have our promise of immortality, of eternal inheritance, refreshed and renewed in this pledge of life eternal. And so may we give God humble thanks, express our sincere gratitude to him in the offering of praise and thanksgiving in this congregational worship today, the worship of God as a congregation. And may we come to receive those great gifts that he is giving to us as we enter now into the eternal worship of the offering that Christ has made once for all time and for our endless benefit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.